From New York City, the world-famous Comedy Cellar presents Live from America Podcast. Live from America Podcast. With Noam Dorman and Hatem Gabber. Live from America Podcast. Where the top experts in the world and the best comics in the nation get together weekly to discuss today's issues as they cover news, culture, politics, comedy, and more with an equal part of knowledge and comedy. And now, here are your hosts, Hatem Gabber and Noam Dorman.
Hey, welcome to Live from America Podcast. Your favorite person here, Hatem, second favorite over there, Noam Dorman, owner of the Comedy Cellar. You can always email us at livefromamerica@comedycellar.com. If you have any questions, any concern, any guests you want to see, anybody, just email us. We'll let you know. We'll make it happen. Regular comedian and writer Boris Aiken is here. He's regular. And
I have guests I'd like to see. Can I email?
Yeah, email me. I probably won't respond to you, but I'll email. Who do you want to see?
John Mearsheimer. I'll tell you about him later. Go ahead.
I like how my introduction reminded you you'd like to see someone else.
Yeah. And he always liked to jump in the middle of the introduction. And first time here, very great, a great comedian and a writer, Subha Agora.
Sabah.
Well, the right name is called Professor by Subha, so I'm going for it. She's HBO Comedy Central and writer for the new Arsenio Hall Netflix is a joke limited series coming out soon. And first time in this show, but I've been following for a while. Good to have you.
Finally. Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you for being here. So Noam, who's that guy that you want to have?
John Mearsheimer is an important political theorist. You would like him because he's anti-Semitic, but he also has interesting things to say about Russia and Ukraine.
You have me at anti-Semitic. He's going to be here next week.
Obviously, I'm being over the top. I'm not calling him anti-Semitic. He's been accused of being anti-Semitic, but I don't know that he's anti-Semitic.
He did that long lecture kind of blaming Western moves across NATO and stuff for what's happening right now, right? He's being cited a lot by like the blame America.
He's a realist, foreign policy realist, but he also complains about the Jews having too much power.
Well, sometimes you say anybody anti-Semitic, just to be clear. But just to be clear, we not call him anti-Semitic, so we don't get in trouble.
But I don't think he's anti-Semitic. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he's not. So yeah, so a lot.
But when you do it, when you do invite him and you send him a sample show to watch, don't send him this one.
So Subha, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Had some coffee. I'm awake, you know.
Yeah. So where are you originally from?
Suburbs of Chicago.
Okay. So that's how you know. Yeah, I see you on Marina's show a lot too. You know.
Yeah. I didn't. When I met her, I met her in New York. I didn't realize. Okay, how weird would it be if we were just suburbs friends? Like if we used to go laser bowling together back in the 90s.
So Subha, this is what a coward Hatem is. Really didn't mean what state are you from. But when you answered Chicago, he's like, oh, that's very interesting.
I know everything about her, so you know, but I didn't know which state she's from, so that was my legit question, actually.
Okay.
Yeah,
but I am, for anyone who's curious, I am Indian. You might recognize us from Bridgerton, season two.
Born in India?
No. Oh. Born in the suburbs of Chicago.
My wife is half Indian.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, you look like you could be, you know, she looks she's half Indian, half Puerto Rican, but she looks more Indian.
Oh yeah.
And I'm from Madison, New Jersey, so we all have a connection. Yeah.
I'm the worst. I can't tell brown apart. I mean, like my cousin married a Mexican woman, and then I literally at a certain point I couldn't tell what family was. I'm like, I can't. I'm as bad as the people I make fun of. This is terrible.
No, I like when a lot of people like ask me where you're from, kind of like Noam you know, try to bust me on. And I said, like, oh, Brooklyn, Williamsburg. Yeah, but where? Oh, you mean long time ago? Lower East Side. I don't give it that satisfaction until later. But all right, so let's talk. We have let's see what happened this week.
Well, I want to ask about a question. This is
just ask it.
Social security number? What is it? What's going
on? Type it to Hatem and then have Hatem ask it out loud. It'll look better.
Yeah. So you don't lose anything.
I'm going to tell you why I'm asking the question, but I'm also going to tell you why the question might be misplaced. It's quite common now for people to take up special interest in their color, their this or that, blah, blah, blah. So you may be somebody who doesn't do that, in which case this question would make no sense. But on the off chance that you do like have a heightened interest in like brown comics or whatever it is, are you aware of the Mona Sheikh controversy where she accused the Comedy Cellar of not booking women and blah blah blah?
Oh, I mean, I know Mona, but no.
Oh, okay. She wrote a that's the Hollywood Reporter retracted some of the column, but she wrote a column in the Hollywood Reporter blasting the Comedy Cellar for I ate some almonds and I'm coughing on them. not booking, I don't think she's gonna call it, not booking women. You go on without me, I'll make help.
So she said that the Comedy Cellar doesn't book women, brown people.
Okay, should we stop the podcast?
Oh, no, this is gonna get a small rating. We live, Noam is dying.
I don't think it's the almonds, I think it's the subject matter.
Finally, working. This is awesome. This is tune in right now, watch it.
Where did you get the almonds? Did Mona send you the almonds?
It's some sort of mystical Hindi curse. I know it.
Actually,
Indiana Jones.
Doesn't the poison that they tried to kill Rasputin with that smells like almonds, right? That's the whole thing of it.
Oh, that's cyanide,
Yeah.
I should mention I'm allergic to nuts. Anyway, she said we don't book women and we book sexual harassers and the gatekeepers need to go. And of course, I take this personally, first of all, because she's never once sent a tape or an email or had anybody refer her. Right? There's, I've never heard of her or there's no reason in the world, presuming she's funny, that she wouldn't be able to get on in the Comedy Cellar if she'd taken some steps to get on in the Comedy Cellar. We have an Indian performer now, Zarna Garg, who I think is getting more spots than any other comic at the Cellar right now. She's killing, you know.
If you say so.
That?
My God.
Just a quick track.
There's going to be some brown Hollywood lunch that's going to be so awkward because of you two. I just want you to know you are ruining whatever samosa I'm going to have to eat. I love everyone. As a rule of thumb, I think they should book more. Every club should book more women. Every club should book more Indian women, specifically me. As a rule of thumb, I say every club
but the biggest
should
point
give me
that is,
spots.
If they don't even audition, you know, the only thing that really matters is being funny, you know, not like how you look, all right? Well, that's what you want to get at.
Yeah, so went on Brian Stelter. Now I would have brought this up today, even if you weren't here, but Brian Stelter, and she blasted the Comedy Cellar again, and he didn't ask for a single skeptical question. He didn't ask her, have you ever auditioned the Comedy Cellar? She talked about the gatekeepers and he didn't ask, well, how many followers do you have on social media where there are no gatekeepers? Because that would be, you know, if she had a million followers on social media, couldn't get into the clubs, that would be a facial, on the face of it, a case of like what's going on here. But she has like fewer than 10,000 followers. I thought about, I don't know if I said this last week, it's as if I wrote a column that said, you know what? The New York Yankees won't play me. then I went on Brian Stelter and says, the Yankees won't play you? I can't believe that. Like, that's terrible. Yeah, you need to do something about these gatekeepers in the Yankees without asking me, like, do you actually play baseball well? Did you try to audition for the Yankees? Like, how do you do in non-major league? Like, there's just the assumption that if you're a a person on it from a particular point of view and you make a complaint, you write a column, I am a comedian and I'm not booked at the Comedy Cellar, that's like, oh, that's all the information we need to know. There must be something going on here. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I do see clubs that don't book women, though. That is a thing, unfortunately. I mean, the Cellar books women. I see women working there all the time. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's not a thing. It definitely is a thing I've seen where I'm like, Jesus, 4 months in a row, you don't have one lady? Like, that's a lot. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying it's not a thing either. I don't know how clubs operate. To back up what you're saying, I know some women who I think are extremely funny who are not getting that many spots at other clubs, which is weird to me. You know, I'm not saying it's because they're women, because I know some dudes who we book a lot who are not getting that many spots also, but I can't comment on other clubs. But what's happening to me or the club is that, I mean, you know, it's part of my success. I don't mean to, you know, complain without also at the same time recognizing how fortunate we are, but we're becoming a synecdoche. You know what a synecdoche is, right, Hatem? We're becoming a synecdoche for...
Why me? Why am I the only one that's not going to get it? But you're right. But
a synecdoche is like when you can size up the whole thing in one like symbolic thing. So like all a country, to refer to Israel, they'll call it Jerusalem. Or they'll say, talk about the car industry, they'll say Detroit. You know, they're using the Comedy Cellar like to represent comedy now, the way comedy clubs operate. But it's working the opposite way because they take the policies of other clubs and then now they're attaching them to us. And it's always out of the mouths of people who have never been to the club, never tried to get to the club, never auditioned previously with Guy Branum. But anyway, so I just wanted to ask you if you had any, it's like this, is the Cellar have any reputation in brown female comedian circles? Of being like hostile to
not before this episode.
it really bothers me because it's so embarrassing. It's not, you know, I don't need this. Like my daughter Googles stuff and she's, Daddy, do you blah blah blah? You know, mommy's Indian. How come you don't book Indian? So go ahead. Tell us what you know.
Well, first of all, I like what I think your daughter's onto something. I think they should give more spots. I mean, I didn't know Mona wrote that article. I haven't really heard much.
But reputationally, you haven't heard that?
No. I mean, do you want me to add you to the group chat? There's no group chat. We should start.
I would love to.
We should start a group chat.
I think the question for you guys is, you are comedians, is like, do you feel like most comics, when they don't get in a place, instead of seeing like, okay, like Norm said, I'm not good enough to play a Yankee now, there's something the club is doing, you know, brown people, they didn't get Russians, you know, whatever it is.
There are for sure takedown people who just want to like take down shit because they're bitter for attention. I think, I don't think Mona is one of those people. I think like maybe it was kind of what Noam was saying, where she was using the Cellar as, you know what I mean? Like other things she had.
Schenectady.
Yeah. Yeah.
Schenectady.
I don't even know. I thought it was synecdoche. Was I saying that completely wrong the entire
yes,
time?
Yes, but don't feel bad because I used to say it wrong too. I didn't know until I heard something.
I've never Boris, heard what do you think? Of those words.
I thought it was a synecdoche. I
think, first of all, not just women, but Ukrainian refugees, both of them really got drafted. I think what you're describing is a very universal human thing. And as much as I know that to be true with certain people, also I know tons of white guys who, because they're white guys and that's not the flavor, will word it the same way. And you know what? Both sometimes have elements of truth and sometimes they're just full of shit and they suck. You know, there's all of it.
But don't you guys think that like if you show up and you're funny and you kill, there is no reason, you know, for not to be there? I mean, I don't know.
I think that's true one way or another.
I mean, I think it is true. I would like to believe it's true. But I also think the entertainment industry in general is very chaotic and not a meritocracy. Like, I don't know. There's so many like super talented people who I like, honestly, now I'm like finally seeing get their flowers and shit, but I'm like, why the fuck did it take them like 3 decades or whatever? Like, they should have been recognized way sooner. They've been funny this whole goddamn time. Like, Janelle James is just becoming a household name now, and she's hysterical, and she's been hysterical, and it's just like, so I'm careful to be like, oh, if you're funny, it's gonna work out, because I'm like, you know what, it might not.
No, but what
or
I meant
it might
is
take
that
you decades, you know. But
I agree. I think most people that actually really funny, it doesn't work out, but they become a working comedians. They don't become like a household name, but most of the comedians that the comics they work, you know, they really funny. They just never somebody like Goffrey, very
but
talented.
You can work,
like, you know, I think Colin never got what he want. You know, even Wanda took her a while to be where she is. And but, you know, but I'm saying, I'm talking about working in clubs, you know.
But Janelle is a good example, because she started working a seller shortly before COVID, maybe a year before COVID. And I had never heard of her before. I think she came in. I think Chris Rock recommended her, but never, ever heard of her. There was no like she didn't get passed or anything. She was not our radar for as many years as you say she's been doing comedy. And I remember thinking when I saw her, like, she's fantastic. How do we ever not know about her? But I don't know what the answer to that is, but it's not the industry being sexist, or this is not the club industry being sexist. That's not the reason she wasn't at the cellar.
But also on the other hand, Noam, let me ask you this. It's like, because a lot of people still under the impression of people can get into the cellar. I mean, I know, but now, but people still under the impression that it used to be a while ago, you need to recommend you to people that works there to recommend you, send the tape and all that, you know, but it's not like that anymore. I think a lot of people don't know that. They don't know that all they have to do is just like reach out, try to audition, send the tape, and then get that audition. Correct?
Yeah, there is still this thing out there that you need to be recommended. But the truth is, if you're a working comic and you're funny, it's not that hard to get somebody to recommend you to the seller. But the truth, that we can't shake that old thing. That was the policy before. I mean, a long time ago, before YouTube, you know, it was the only practical policy that worked was couldn't just put anybody up because they wanted to audition. And there was really no other way to see people. So we had to have recommendations. But now that I can watch a YouTube tape, why would I have to have somebody recommend them? Doesn't make any sense.
All right, moving on. So what we learned right now, that if you do want to go to the cellar, just find where Noam lives, send him a tape, or go perform in his apartment or house. And
yeah, first of all, my goddamn phone number is on the Comedy Cellar website. Do you know that? My cell phone number is on the Comedy Cellar website.
And why? Still no one calls you. Unbelievable.
Why? That should not be there. Why would you do that?
Well, I have it there because
you doxed yourself.
I know.
I'm like, what? I mean, listen, there are certain hours, whatever reason, it's the only solution that works. So,
and I think one of the things that people don't know either, also, that you respond to the emails that come to the seller, especially from customers, you know, especially complaints.
Yeah, I mean, there is this image, and I guess it's true. Like when somebody runs a very successful business and they become like a whatever, you know, important in the industry, that somehow they're supposed to separate themselves as a man of power and, you know, be out of the loop in some way. But that's never been my attitude at all, because that's when we'll deteriorate. I mean, I need to be in it. I need to be available. I need to speak to the customers. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't get that. I mean, I imagine Jeff Bezos can't do that, but I can certainly continue to do that. The seller's not that big.
Yeah, I think Jeff Bezos can do that. He's too busy for that.
But I like the idea of him responding to 1-star reviews on every Amazon product, though. Just sitting in his house.
I would not be surprised if he doesn't, using an alias, actually respond to customers from time to time. He's a smart dude. He knows.
Like undercover boss. Like, orders stuff and sees what goes wrong.
So speaking of another place that didn't do a good job business-wise, Netflix. What are you guys thinking? Like, they sank 35% in the stock. They lose about 200,000 subscribers. You know, all this because of they raised the price a little bit. Now they try to crack down on the, you know, they're going down in a big way. What do you guys think? What's your thoughts on that?
It's because they stuck Cody. By Chappelle. They're getting them because they stuck by Chappelle.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say they've had a pretty good run. So, mm-hmm. It's inevitable that somebody else is going to jump in. They had no competition forever. Blockbuster, refused and didn't see it coming. They had, a 20-year run, and now, of course, everybody's jumping.
I mean, Netflix, did you know that Netflix actually came to Blockbuster, offered their idea for $50,000? They said no. But, I mean, how could you, with all that money, not see it coming? Did they get too greedy?
Netflix or Blockbuster?
No, Netflix. Suba, what do you think?
I think it was coming. I just think they were a little arrogant when you've been so successful for so long and the other foot hasn't dropped. There's a part of your brain that goes, oh, it's not going to drop or it won't be so bad. But yeah, it was inevitable because Boris said, there was zero competition. And now Disney Plus has some fire shows. I love all the Marvel stuff. Apple TV. And people didn't think Apple TV was really going to survive, but then they started nailing it with Severance and Ted Lasso, and they really came into their own.
Amazon too.
So it's this competition was always going to cost them people, and the fact that they raised their prices, which I thought was a weird decision. I'm like, just stop giving super famous people millions of dollars to do these shows. Make good content so you don't hike the prices, because it's there are other options that are cheaper. Of course they're going to lose subscribers.
Yeah,
they lost how many subscribers?
200,000 in the U.S. Plus, their stock went 35% down. But the thing is, also another a friend of mine said, they also did not, they haven't been doing a lot of good shows. They will have that. First of all, comedy in general, Netflix is not that great. Stand-up comedy. I think some of it is good. Some of it are just not that great, in my opinion.
Hots are just coming out swinging on all the comics. That's hilarious.
Oh, no. I'm not talking. I'm saying the comic that deserves to be in Netflix, they're not. That's my point.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, they have a lot. There's just so much stand-up on Netflix. It's a mixed bag just because there's so much of it, I feel. Yeah. Especially lately, they've been doing just... I forgot what they called it.
Yeah.
Comedy Cellar Plus, get in there. When's your stream?
but I'm not saying only about comic. I'm talking about also the shows. There's a lot. Every five shows, there's one great one in Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's so much crap shows on every streaming platform, though. And I think Netflix does put out good stuff. It's just, it can get lost in the sea of just terrible content.
That's sort of the Hollywood model too, though. That's not even just Netflix. It's just they're like a hedge fund, but for content, where they have a couple things they're banking on making all the money, and then just.
But do you think that people left because of just the extra $2 that everybody? I mean, I know a lot of people said they're raising the money, they don't want to do it. Norm, what do you think?
So 200,000 is. Is it 1% of subscribers?
0.1%? I know you're Jewish. I'm trying to figure out the money, but don't get stuck.
No, 200,000 out of 200 million subscribers. How many subscribers does Netflix have?
I don't know how many globally.
I mean, they're still the biggest by far streaming platform. So it's not like they're falling that much. I think they're just settling down into
220 million.
220 million subscribers. 220 million, that would be... 2 million, let's say, and 200, it's 2,000. It's 1%, right?
It's tiny
or less. Well, I can tell you this.
But this is just in 1 month, just right now when they raise the price. But I mean, obviously, now they announced that they're going to have another subscription option with commercial, and it's going to be much cheaper. I don't know if that's a good move.
Here's my question. What happened to the size of the whole market?
It's 0.1%. It's 0.1%.
What's your question, Boris?
Do you know, the entire size of the streaming market? Has that in itself, grown during the period that they lost subscribers? Did it grow less than it normally grows? Because maybe just less people are subscribing to stuff as, we're on maybe the verge of a recession or something. I'm just throwing this out there. I don't actually know.
No, streaming grew.
I think it grew for sure. Gotcha. Yeah.
So okay, let me just say. So it's 0.1%. Your eyes are so. It's a slight fluctuation. 0.1% in my business would be not even determinable, but I suppose that it's the beginning of the beginning of the coming to the other side of that curve. And this is just the beginning. And now the roller coaster is going to go down and they're going to lose more subscribers. But they were the only game in town. Now every single major player now, except for CNN, has a
oh, poor CNN Plus.
has a streaming service, and at the same time there's a law of diminishing returns. So I don't know that this is the end of Netflix. It's just a maturing of the streaming market, and they're you know, I'm not sure why the stock dropped that much. Maybe it's because people were expecting it to go on and on, or maybe there's a panic.
I don't think it's end of Netflix, but I think it's a bad business move, and that was my question. It's like,
why did they have to have made some kind of mistake for this to happen? You have an industry where Disney is in now, and Paramount, and everybody's getting in, and not only are they in now, but they're pulling their content. So Disney pulled all the Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, HBO has its own HBO Max now. Like, I don't watch Netflix nearly as much as I used to. That's not really because Netflix is anything bad. It's just there's way more options now. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that it's anything could have been done. You know, Ford was the first car, and I don't think Ford did anything badly that all of a sudden GM and Chrysler started taking market share. You can't hold on to a device.
Though. But when you raise the price of something, like for you, even when you, I know how careful you are when you raise the price at the ticket for the seller, you know, or, you know, this is a big decision. Usually you think it wouldn't affect the people. Right. But I think they made a mistake by raising the price now when people try to save a little bit.
Yeah, I do think that too, though.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, like, I don't know their business numbers, but it felt like an arrogant move because they also thought they weren't going to lose that many people. And they're like, oh, we can raise the prices. I think they were just being unrealistic about what the market is.
Yeah.
And how
competitive. How much did they raise the price?
I forgot, but I remember being like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I didn't cancel my Netflix, but I was annoyed.
Yeah, yeah. Most of the people are the same. Like, I got the same. I was like, okay, I don't care. But why? You know?
It is weird timing where, like, if they just did it at the same time as they gained something really dope,
yeah,
that would feel like so much better. But like you said, they're losing all. Like, I liked Daredevil a lot. That was one of the things that I like enjoyed that was specifically Netflix, is some of the Marvel stuff. And it feels more like icky that they're raising the price while taking away the thing I'm paying for.
Right.
It just always surprised me when somebody.
But I also read now they're going to crack down on people sharing passwords.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Will people then up and subscribe, or will they just abandon it altogether? Because it's really like a big price raise.
Yeah, that's a gamble. I'll tell you,
I personally have a threshold where it's gotta be easy enough, otherwise I just pirate it. And I don't pirate every, I pay for Netflix, I pay for HBO. But like, if it becomes too much, like there's not enough stuff and there's like one thing on Netflix I want to watch, eventually like a switch just flips and I'm like, I'm just going to download it for free and spend the extra 2 minutes connecting my computer to the HDMI cable.
Or well, like,
I actually have my Netflix password on our website. So
you're just trying to get everybody to go.
Go to the website.
I think it's part of it. It's cool that you have, you know, you share passwords about Netflix, you know. Because this is always good in relationships. See, I was like, I think when she said in the next step, he was like, yeah, I'll give you my password for Netflix. That's the next step. And other than that, no. But we'll see. It just always surprised me when businesses that large and have that much money and they know so much and they hire people that can predict and they make a terrible business mistake. Like,
well, what are we talking about Netflix for? Let's talk about CNN Plus, the dumbest ever known to man.
Yeah.
Wait, before we do, can I just say, instead of fighting it, Netflix would be so much smarter to actually lean into that and have like a branded ad campaign that it's like a thing of intimacy when they share their Netflix password. Like if they actually advertise Netflix that way, like go ahead, share the password and like really leaned in. So you're not sharing it with anybody. Like he wants to get, you know, he wants to get serious with you if he's sharing his password.
Yeah. See, I give ideas.
Stick to comedy, Boris. No, I get what you're saying, but where does that end? You know, that It's not like sharing a bag of potato chips. It's unlimited people can log in on the same password.
No, not unlimited. Not unlimited. It's like the beers. I'm saying like make it special so that like you actually won't share your password because she'll think that you're trying to like go like get serious with her.
Or maybe it's the other way. Maybe they write the Shipkraken password so not everybody have Netflix, so she will have to come over and watch Netflix and chill like it was meant to be. This is
how we'll write this up.
Yeah, no, just keep the sex out of Netflix. What is happening? Like, I know there's Netflix that you're like, no, this is how you trick her into your apartment. You raise the prices. You take away the password. I'm like, leave her alone. Let this poor
woman. She wants the password. I'm telling you, she wants the password.
All right, let's get to the next one.
Maybe the password could be, will you marry me?
There you go.
Oh, God.
Right. You know, some corny thing. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
We're not talking about CNN Plus?
Oh, yeah, CNN Plus. It's so bad.
Okay, Johnny. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying it's just so bad. Like, who wants, like, CNN is just done. They need another girl for it.
This is the best example you've ever, that anybody's ever had of exactly what you're saying. Like, the smartest people in the world, McKinsey Group, Jeff Zucker, everybody, the whole board of directors, whatever, however CNN's decisions are made. Everybody said, this is going to be fantastic. People are going to be able to have more Wolf Blitzer and they're going to pay for it this time. And Jake Tapper's book club, like the network that nobody was watching for free now, had spent almost $1 billion over a certain number of years to give this content where you can pay for it. Is this the dumbest thing ever? Now, this is such a lesson in what groupthink is, what bias is, it's just, and how overrated experts are, just how goddamn overrated they are.
And like you mentioned before in Rotten Tomatoes, like with the Chappelle special, all the experts says it's horrible and the people are like, it's great. And it was great.
And the thing is, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I find it inspirational as somebody who's trying to get shows made. I'm like, look, if they can trick them, certainly I can, you know? It's just...
it's always look at it. There's that inspiration that when you get turned down, you, say, you know what? They really don't fucking know. They actually...
Exactly.
People turn the Beatles down. What was I going to say about the CNN thing? I don't know. There was something else I wanted to say about it. But anyway, it's just unbelievable. Oh, Fox. So Fox has a streaming thing, but Fox is completely different. First of all, Fox has real cult of personality. There are people who would love to sit home all day and listen to Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and these people. Number one. Number two, Fox is the only game in town for the niche audience, which is about 48% of the United States of America. Like CNN is competing with 30, 40 other different outlets for the Democratic voter or left of center voter attention. Fox has basically 100% of the attention of everybody on the other side. So like it's to think for CNN to think that because Fox could do a streaming network, they ought to be able to do a streaming network. And on top of that, Fox isn't doing live broadcasting on their streaming network. They're doing, Tucker Carlson pro UFO documentaries and testicle tanning and things like crazy stuff that's going on Fox. But it's a good business model on Fox. Fox is so much smarter than the competition. It's amazing. Anyway,
Trump should have a.
But I'm just saying they're smarter. I'm not saying they're right about politics.
I am. All right, let's go to the next one.
Sorry, that brought everybody down.
It's just depressing. It's like, oh yeah, Tucker Carlson's killing it, and it's like, oh god.
But he really is. And by the way, I'll tell you this about Tucker Carlson. And I hate Tucker Carlson. Like what he stands for. I hate the anti-vax stuff. I hate the conspiracy theory. The weapons labs in Ukraine. All of it. But if I'm driving home and I have to listen to something like on my Sirius radio on demand. And I can only listen to one show, I will listen to Tucker Carlson's show because it is friggin' entertaining. Like, you can't.
Yeah,
I
want to hear more about testicle tanning.
That's on the Fox Nation. I haven't seen that yet, but I read articles about it. This is apparently, the more crazy thing is the UFO thing. He actually believes He seemed to think it was credible that UFOs were coming down and stealing the organs of people's cows on farms. Tucker Carlson actually seemed to say that. You can look it up. The testicle tape is more credible. I looked it up. There's a theory that certain frequency of light can stimulate testosterone. And I looked at it, and actually there is some science that thinks that that might be true. So it's one of those things that sounds ridiculous, but that might not be ridiculous. But the UFO, to me, is ridiculous.
I hope all those psychos go and like stimulate their testosterone and just go straight up bald. I hope they all just lose their testosterone so much that all of the hair just falls out of their head.
The finasteride just peaks.
Well,
I know how those chemicals work. I tried the pills briefly.
Listen, I'd like to do away with those masculine guys too, Scott. But the truth is that there is a lowering of sex drive and testosterone across the male sex, at least in America.
Which plastics. They think it's the microplastics.
Yeah.
And that is serious. Like that's, you know.
We should be able to come together about that. You know, that shouldn't be a partisan issue. My balls should not be a partisan issue.
We shouldn't be afraid to come together on sperm counts. Yeah. Okay, is that what you're saying? Go ahead.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with Tucker Carlson, all these, it's not that they, you know, their listeners are loyal. Like they listen to them all day long. You know, CNN and people like that, they just, their listeners want to listen to certain things, you know.
Rachel Maddow's closer to that. She should get
it. Yeah, Rachel Maddow's good. Yeah, she's solid. Yeah. I get why people listen to Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, MSNBC tanked when she had somebody else filling in. They're all there for her.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine staking $200 million on presenting the public with more Don Lemon and more Wolf Blitzer? Can you imagine how deluded you have about your own product? Oh, and I mean, and Jeff Zucker, who's ideally, he's the worst. He just writing out like CNN's like institutional inertia and the fact that it's on basic cable and it's in airports. You know, they've hit bottom. You can't get fewer viewers basically than CNN was getting. And you know, COVID helped, Trump helped, Chris Cuomo with the Andrew Cuomo, they had a little blip, but that network is the worst. Anyway.
I mean, they only got, you know, during the Gulf War, the first war, that's when they got like big.
Yeah, but they were the only game in town then. That was even before Fox News existed.
Yeah.
No one. They were the only news network at that time.
I hate that news is just like a popular thing. News should be boring. Like I hate that everyone's mixing in all these wild entertainment and like biasing. It should be boring. Nobody should like to hear it. It should just be something you do while drinking your coffee and resenting your wife. Like it shouldn't be entertaining. You know, this 24-hour news cycle is toxic. I know.
Did you say something to do while you eat, drink coffee, and resenting your wife?
Yes, that's how I picture news.
You need to send us a tape. I like it. I like that attitude. Chef, have an insight into human nature that we need.
Speaking of resenting your wife, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Oh, good segue. Yeah.
Anybody?
Poor man.
I know.
Can I just so, have who, a filter?
Are you team Johnny or Amber? I mean, I'm Amber because she's hot. All right, that's the only reason.
The clips that I heard, it sounded like she was pretty explicitly saying that she hit him and stuff. And nobody's mentioning that it's elder abuse. Everyone talks about the age difference when the power dynamic is one way. But it just feels like she's beating on this poor, sad old man.
She said that he's... She said, fat old man playing guitar and it's boring.
Oh, brutal. Yeah, I don't know enough about the details of it, but I remember something about it being like, no, she was legit abusive and like cut off his finger or something crazy. Like, wasn't there like actual documented, like, no, she did some shit. You know what I mean?
You know what's funny? Nobody knows really what's going on. We look like at bits and pieces of that interview or court or whatever, but nobody really does. I haven't met anybody that know the story of Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, you know.
Yeah, I also don't understand the rush to like have an opinion on something. I'm like, let the facts actually shake out, and then before that, just shut the fuck up. Why do you have to be like, I'm team Johnny, I'm team Amber? It's like, oh, what do you actually know? Nothing. It's just, what did you like her in Aquaman? Why are you weighing in on this domestic abuse case when you don't have the information?
But I already made us all t-shirts, guys.
You know what's funny? It's been years, though, and this is the defamation. So he is suing her. people think that she is suing him. It's the opposite. He said that, you know, for the defense, and he's suing it for $50 million, and she's going to lose, I think. You know, she got to get back with Elon Musk, though.
Yeah, you know, I heard he was testifying. I heard him and James Franco are testifying in her defense, which is interesting.
James Franco, he's got his own problem.
I know. I was going to say, what is he doing?
No, because Johnny Depp said that he thinks she cheated on him with Franco.
How funny would it be if this was just a way to trick James Franco into a courtroom? But like, no, come testify.
I was like, since you're here.
Actually, Johnny and Amber are still happily married. This is all a ruse.
So my confession on this is I haven't read two words about it. I have zero interest in it. I respect Johnny Depp as an actor. I wouldn't recognize Amber Heard if she walked into the cellar. And I don't understand why people are interested in this stuff. But I guess that's because I'm not into these things. I don't know.
I only see the little videos in TikTok. Like nobody really, I'm telling you, nobody really knows what's going on. And when I dug deep, I found out that this has been going on for years.
Yeah.
You know, like this is not a new thing, you know, but it's really funny when you hear two fighting and they say stuff about just being regular person. Like I said, she call him like he's old and fat and playing guitar. And I immediately thought of Noam because he plays guitar. I was like, is that what people think of like when you're just except he's not fat, but you know, but she called him that old man and stuff like what? You married, like, it's crazy. I think
it seems like there's a little acrimony, a little bitterness between them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she's hitting him. She's been hitting him.
You're picking up on that.
It's like you're pointing out that you're abused. She might have cut off his finger, but she called him old. It's such a minor point in everything you're talking about to me. Like, this is the way it sounds, someone has nothing about. You just described all this abuse. Like, she called him old. Like, yeah, well.
It's the microaggressions.
Not very much. All right, what else? Next.
I don't know, but his reaction is pretty funny too. He have a funny moment at the, you know, and she's a good actress. She's a really good actress. Like
he's a
really good performer.
He is brilliant. That dude is a talented actor.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole family, right? Nicolas Cage, isn't he related?
I loved the part where he entered the courtroom and then he was like limping, like he was gonna fall, but then he did a somersault.
Very good. That's a good way to get out. Get out on the left. Go ahead, Hatem. Next.
All right. What do you guys want to talk about next? Let's see. What about that, Florida ending the Disney special status? I didn't even know they had a special status.
Yeah.
What is that about?
No tax. They don't pay tax.
Are they like the church?
No, they're getting a lot of money for Florida, so they don't get, you know. But it's all because of that don't say gay thing. Do you say gay in a course?
Do I say gay? Like, do I use that word?
Yeah.
all my life in different ways that have progressed for the better.
So what do you guys think of, like, you know, it's political now. So they end their, you know, special status. I don't know if Disney's going to go somewhere else, but it's a bad business move. What do you think? No.
I think Disney's not going somewhere else. They're not.
They're still in China, aren't they?
Entire Disney World and up and leaving Florida to, you know, pay for their own buses now or something.
Balloons. They go straight up.
Well, it's a California company. I'm torn on this because I really don't like to see. I prefer the government to stay out of the business, and I prefer business to stay out of politics.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like what Disney, I think Disney's first instinct, which is to say that this is a democratic process playing out and we are a company that provides entertainment. And why should we weigh into this issue?
I feel like they lose the ability to say that when they've donated to the politicians that are doing these homophobic bills. It's like, maybe that would have been okay if they weren't actively helping these people get elected because they gave them that status.
That's a great point. Yeah.
But it's like, I didn't even know
it's not a bad point, I'm not disparaging the point, but in a real world sense, these businesses contribute to politicians because they need influence. I mean, that's not nice to say, but that's the real world. They need influence for business matters. Like I've had to, in the old days, contribute to a politician in order to get be able to be considered fairly for licenses. And that's an ugly system, but that's the way it is. And that particular politician's
view. That was Strom Thurmond.
We're not even, I didn't even know what they were. It was like so ugly. Now, as far as the bill being homophobic, you know, I don't know. As a parent, first of all, it's hard to find out even what the bill really means or what it would mean in practice as opposed to theory. But I will tell you, as a parent of three young children, I've had it up to here with my kids coming home with nonsense about sex and race in the first and second grade. And that's not because I even necessarily disagree with the stuff they're coming home with. It's just, sometimes I do, like I told the story many times, like when my daughter came home and said, "Daddy, you're white. Do you treat people badly?" I'm like, "No, why do you think that?" "Well, we heard in school that, you know, white people treat people badly." I'm like, "No," like that kind of stuff. She's first smart kid. First grade. So somebody wanted to do a bill forbidding that kind of talk in the first grade. They would say, "Oh, well, that's, you know, you're racist." I'm like, "No, I'm not racist at all. I just don't want this with my kid." Now, let's not get into the don't say gay bill. I just want to say that, and I know some gay people agree with me on this. It's clear that it's homophobic, but we can say for the sake of argument that it is homophobic in the opinion of you, but the voters of Florida, through their democratic process, have decided they don't want this subject brought up to their children. Now, what is Disney going to get involved in that for? I think they're doing it to please their employees. They're trying, or some sort of pressure. They've never done that before. So that happened, right? So now, so that, I didn't like that Disney did that, but now this retribution, I don't like that either, because they should be giving Disney a break on its taxes or whatever it is, because it's good for Florida or it's not good for Florida. That's the reason they should do that. And if it's good for Florida you could go further and say, well, why is it good? Why it's not fair that Disney gets a special break. Normally the left objects to special, mm-hmm. It's for big corporations. So this is kind of like all of a sudden people who would never defended a corporation are like, no, Disney deserves its special tax breaks. So people should think about that. But in general, I don't like to see businesses get special breaks, but if Florida was doing it because in some ways better for Florida, then they really shouldn't stop doing it. On the other hand, the third thing is that in like a real like pragmatic way, if this being burned here, and they might even reinstate it in a year, if being burned here just shakes people, corporations, of the idea of just wading into every controversy, like a Major League Baseball took the All-Star game out of Georgia because of the law, and there's Ben and Jerry's, like every corporation that wants to get involved in policy, it's a bad road to go down. It doesn't, no, nothing, there's no societal benefits that even really come from it. The laws haven't even changed because of it. So if that's what this leads to, then I would take the benefits I would take the benefits of expediency over principle, here, and hopefully Disney learned this lesson. All the corporations around the country learned their lesson. Businesses get back to running their businesses, and politicians get back to doing the business of the people who voted them, right? That's what it's supposed to be.
Well, I think like politicians shouldn't be deciding what is and isn't taught in schools. I think that should be school boards and parents.
It has to be politicians.
But no, it's the school board. Normally, it's
the school boards are everything stems from the elections.
Yeah, but that's like the school board, not like a senator or whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, what if in Mississippi they wanted to teach, and as they do or have, they want to teach some real racist stuff, the school board? Would you object to the politicians of stopping it then? Of course you wouldn't. You're like, well, you are elected leaders. The school board don't manage the school. The school board manages the school under a structure that is led by the local government.
Yeah, Yeah, I guess maybe, I mean, there should, I mean, obviously there has to be some standardization that's put in place by a governmental body, but it just felt like this was addressing a problem that wasn't there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like who's, like, what were you trying to, what issue did this bill solve? It just felt like a signaling thing, if that makes sense. Like, it was felt like
you're probably
more,
right.
Yeah, it felt like more of like a culture war. Like, hey, let's attack the LGBTQ community and distract people while we do, go off and do these horrific shit that keeps transferring wealth upwards. Like, that's kind of what it felt like. And then it has real world consequences for people who are getting.
I would just tell you to
be a little bit more charitable to the side, because I have small kids in school. You don't.
Yeah.
And you're really not aware of the kind of stuff these kids are coming home with now at very, very young ages, which are, okay, when I went to school, political agendas were just not reflected in the classroom. We had no idea whatsoever what our teachers thought about political issues. And they were hot in those times. Civil rights was at its peak when I was going to school in the late 60s, the Vietnam War. I had no idea whether my teacher was pro-Vietnam War or anti-Vietnam War. No idea. And the Vietnam War was a huge cause, among the left, every bit as big a cause as transgender is, or whatever you want to call it today. This is a change. It is not a change for the better. The kids need to be learning to read, write, and do arithmetic. That's what they need to, and they're not doing that well. So maybe they should double up on arithmetic and double up on this stuff in the time that they have. Having said that, I personally, don't get the wrong idea, I don't care what my kids know about gay or trans. We've had trans people socially at the house. This is not a worry of mine about gay or any of these issues personally. I'm very happy to have my kids completely exposed to this stuff through the conduit of their parents' lives. I don't want this being taught to them in school by a young person with a teacher's degree who may disagree with me about it.
Morris, what do you think?
Well, first of all, like I said, I love the idea of Noam's daughter being like, aren't white people the worst? The way they're always telling you to go to your room.
This is true. She
and
really
you,
said
and
that.
You can't have dessert until you finish dinner. White people are always telling me that. It's all Noam specifics. They play guitar for an hour and I stopped listening half an hour ago. That's white people. I think... even if I didn't agree with Noam, which I more do than I don't, there's clearly enough people where I think that we should at the least listen for some sort of middle ground. Because if there's enough people that have a problem with it, that there's enough people for like DeSantis to pander to, even if I definitely agree he's like signaling and using it as to build political power and votes, like you still need to address that. Otherwise, you're just going to empower DeSantis if you dislike him. And you're going to cause like this rift to continue. Like, clearly there's enough people that are sincerely concerned about it. I don't think it's all just.
But it's like all people, like they're saying anyone who's against it, like I think there's too much crazy to be like, oh, let's take. I don't know what the solution to that is, but they're saying like.
Is easy. I'm sorry.
But I know enough.
No, let her finish. Let her finish.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, it's just like politicians are doing this now where they're like, oh, well, they don't want the saying that you can't say gay, or if somebody has two moms, you can't explain that, oh, they have two moms. They're saying like giving specific examples. They're saying like, oh, if you do that, then you're trying to groom children. Like they're calling, like using that as a blanket attack, calling people groomers.
That's bad faith as well. I agree
with
that. Yeah,
so it's
TikTok does.
Yeah, I'm not going to co-sign outrageous arguments of everybody who agree with me on a binary issue, pro or up or down on a, like there could be an issue that has to do with race that I might agree with someone who's in the KKK, like I don't think there should be racial preferences at state universities, let's say. Now I know the guy in the KKK agrees with me, but don't take his rationale and make it my rationale.
I thought you said, I know the guy from the KKK. Stops there.
All I'm saying is that Disney really shouldn't have waded into this. And by the way, it is worth noting, and I said this last week, and somebody even wrote me about it, that you could flip this in a second. Like if some teacher started teaching, and the point can very well be made about people who have transitioned who then regretted it, and people who believe that transgenderism is, by the way, Johnny, did you know that gender dysphoria is in the DSM as a mental illness? You know, that's true. Now imagine the teachers in Florida wanted to start teaching first graders that transgender is a mental illness. All of a sudden you'd be seeing left-wing people saying, we have to stop the schools from doing this. I don't care what the school boards say. We want the politicians to step in. They should not be teaching little kids that transgender is mental illness. But the teachers say, but that's what the psychological Bible says. So this is really a matter of whose ox is gored.
So what's the solution? You said
the solution is this is not a subject to be taught either way to young children. You can teach this subject to them at a more time when they can do their own research, when both sides, where you can bring in this doctor says this and this doctor says this, you read an essay from this side, read an essay from this side, come to your own conclusions. But in first grade, they need to learn other things. If you read the whatever, I can go on and on, but for 150, 200 years in this country, children learned much better than they did now to do the basics in one-room schoolhouses without computers, without anything, without the benefit of learning all this inappropriate stuff. You think that the teachers are teaching them this stuff because the teachers feel this is fundamental knowledge that a first grader needs? That's not what's going on. This is an agenda. And by the way, in the South of Mississippi, when they want to teach kids various dumb things about race or about Confederacy, whatever, that's their agenda too. The idea of adults trying to get kids early and tell them what to think about hot button issues is as old as time. This is what the Nazis did too. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the temptation to want to indoctrinate young children in a certain point of view from an early age. Both sides are tempted by it. Now, I don't know. I think you're also right that there's messaging going on. DeSantis wants to run for president. So he's looking for something to get publicity. It's all one ugly cauldron. I'm not defending anybody. I kind of think everybody sucks.
I will say, as somebody who is about to have a kid, like I know a fair amount of like young parents that I've known for their whole lives to be like, you know, center left, democratic leaning folks that have like that I've had multiple conversations with that are saying similar things you are. These aren't like you would think these people don't exist, because the way that demographic is seen is they're seen as Ron DeSantis fans because he's kind of making it out that way himself.
I know
several people, like I have cousins in Brooklyn that have young kids, and they're talking about like both the fact that the schools are doing a very poor job specifically during COVID, but in general like teaching so many other things that you look at this and it's like,
well,
it's sparking,
I mean,
all these conversations.
I'm not sympathetic to an anti-gay agenda at all. Not even slightly in any aspect. Yeah.
It's just a complicated thing.
I don't think that's what's causing our public schools to suck. I think our public schools suck because they're grossly underfunded.
No, actually our schools have more money per student than any country in the world.
I mean, some of those conditions I saw when I would volunteer, it's like, you know what I mean? Like teachers having to buy supplies out of their own budgets and stuff. Like, there's issues. Like, I think because it's funded by property taxes, I'm sure there are some schools that are very well funded, but there's a lot in this country that's not good.
No, but this is a deep issue, but the money is not getting to the classroom. So in a sense, you're right when you say it's underfunded. It's not underfunded in terms of the money being outlaid, but in terms of where the money goes, that's crazy what goes on. Who knows where the hell it goes? It's not going to the classroom. But
the money spent
but Bloomberg, I mean, it is instructive that Mayor Bloomberg, as when he was mayor, he doubled. New York already had, I think this is right, was spending the most money per student of any school system. If not, it was in the top five. I think it was number one. And then Mayor Bloomberg, over his 12 years, doubled that amount of money. And the schools did not get one bit better. And like I said, go back to Abraham Lincoln's time, kids went to one-room schoolhouses and they learned to read and write and do mathematics beautifully. So it's very difficult to persuade me that money is the operative thing here. I went to New York City public schools, so I know.
Yeah, and look what happened. You had a good point until then.
Well, I mean, imagine if you were to open a school which resembled a school of the 1930s, just the 1930s technology, number of kids in a classroom, writing, everything was exactly like a 1930s classroom. And then the kids didn't do well. People would say, well, how could they possibly do well? Look at the way, look at the class, look at the money they're spending. But that they'd be 100% wrong, because we know very well that people learn perfectly well under those conditions, better than they learn today. So something,
and they were learning the right things about sex back then.
I mean, how much money does it take to teach a kid to read and write? It takes practice. That's what it takes. It doesn't take computers, doesn't take anything. It takes a kid who does his homework. It takes a parent that makes the kid do the homework. It takes a kid who behaves, and it takes practice. They have to read every day, do their math every day. I mean, look at countries like India, where they don't, I mean, how much money, look how well they do in math over there. They don't have money.
Well, here too, the sons of immigrants are always the best students. I mean, it's kind of culture.
In Chinatown, the kids do better than the white kids. Their parents don't even speak English, and the schools have no money.
Well, I mean, a lot of that is just because, I mean, there's billions of people. So if you have a million that are doing well, they're doing well. But also because that's the way to get yourself out of poverty, is to do well in school, become an engineer. And that's how you get...
In America, it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, I don't know why there isn't. I guess it's not. I mean, it could just be that things are too good here. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, here, to get out of poverty, you have to be like in sports. Sports or acting. Like, it's a different... They don't see education as the way to get out of, like, with poor kids, you know what I'm saying? They didn't see the out of being, like, educated. Unlike for me, our culture, kind of like what you mentioned, the only way is education. It doesn't work, but you will think that this is the only way. You know, here versus here, it's like more of like sports. I got to play ball. I got to play something, you know, or go and do something.
Go viral on TikTok, baby.
Yeah. So what have we learned today? Netflix, let's share passwords. The password is on Noam's website, as long as his phone number. If you have any complaints, if you want to addition to Stella, just send a tape, I guess, right? And education sucks. We learn a lot.
I love the word tape, because, you know, we've also talked about this, but I always enjoy it, that at some point, like 100 years from now, it'll be some like trivia question. Do you know why they call it tape? Do you know that time when they actually had a magnetic tape? I'm like, because there's words in the past that are like that. We use them today. We have no concept of why, but already the word tape is weird.
That's funny, yeah.
My kids have never seen magnetic tape.
It's been a while.
Tape something.
Yeah, tape something.
Because the schools aren't teaching them.
Yes, that's a good point. Guys, thank you so much. If you want to share information where people
can
find you. Yeah, it's been an hour and 5 minutes. You want to stay longer? You can stay. We'll sign out.
Okay.
I'm joking.
There wasn't one more issue there?
There was a couple, but just because if you guys can stay a little bit more longer, we can go. There's the
10 more minutes? You have to go?
I don't have to go anywhere.
I probably have to leave in like 15, 20 minutes to get to the spot.
Okay, just one more issue.
All right. What do you want to do? Do you want to do the Biden approval, or you want to do the Title 42 immigration?
Let's about choose.
I guess the Biden approval. Let's do that one.
Okay. So they did this study about the Biden approval rate, right? In every generation. And he was just...
come say hi?
What's that?
No, I was talking to my son.
Is it Benny?
No, it's Benny.
Oh.
Benny, you want to say hi to everybody? Go ahead. You're sharing something?
Yeah, let's see. Okay, Generation Z, which I don't know which one is that.
That's the one at war in Ukraine, right? They got it on their tanks.
So his approval rate is awful and everything. But I don't know which generation you guys are, if you want to say. I don't know. Boris, what are you? Are you a millennium?
Stop sharing the screen. I don't like this.
Why?
I think so. I'm 1985. That's millennial, right? That's like older millennial.
I don't know.
I think so.
I don't even know what the definitions are. What's Generation Z? Let's look it up.
There's a Generation
Z. I think it's 95 to, or maybe I'm wrong on that one.
What's the newest one? There's Generation X, right?
I identify as a boomer.
Baby boomer?
Yeah. Okay, here it is. Generation Z is 1997 to 2012. Millennials are 1981 to 1996. Why didn't it end at the millennium? Anyway. Gen X is 1965 to 1980. Oh, fuck.
That's why you didn't want me to share the screen, huh?
No, Holmes definitely did.
1955 to 1964. I was born 62.
No, I'm your generation A.
I'm Gen 1.0. Okay, so what do we think about Biden? Biden's in big trouble.
Mm. Well, where would that lead us?
The Democrats are in big trouble.
Didn't he just say, or he told Obama he's going to run again, or he like somewhere got out that he's going to run a second term?
Who, Biden?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
Really?
Yeah, nobody quits. None of these people quit. They all just die and fuck us all over, whether it's Ruth or whoever. Nobody quits. They just die in office and the rest of us get fucked. It's so frustrating. Dianne Feinstein is taking Alzheimer's medication. It's like, come on, lady, go home. Look at a river. What the fuck? Take up watercolors. Why? Aww. It's nuts. Dude, you can't have Alzheimer's and be a senator. That's wild. That's no. Like,
we should at least like.
That's scary.
Like, they make you retake your driver's test eventually, right? Yeah. Once you reach a certain age, they like increase the frequency. They should do that. Make them take a naturalization test at least, like what my parents had to go through. Make them take to stay on in Congress or whatever.
Dianne Feinstein was the hero when she tried to destroy Kavanaugh, when she disclosed that letter that she wasn't supposed to disclose from Blasey.
It aged her. It aged her greatly. The bus.
Yeah, but anyway. but you think Biden is going to be a reason that another Trump or Trump would win again? Are you guys afraid of that?
I don't think Trump's going to get the nomination.
You don't think so?
I do not think so.
Oh, okay. I think he will.
But well, then who would it be? Who would it be if not him?
DeSantis.
No. Trump is way DeSantis. More. He's way more popular than him.
Well, the reason I think it's not going to be Trump is because... Okay, so when Trump ran in 2016, without regard to his vulgar personality flaws, which were never fooled me, the message that he was giving about a swampy, broken America that couldn't do anything anymore, that wouldn't control its borders, blah, 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 this was a message that reverberated with me in certain ways, and obviously reverberated with a lot of people. What's his message now? I was robbed. I'm the greatest president ever. Like there's no agenda to Trump anymore. Is he going to say, I'm going to build a wall? Well, you had 4 fucking years ago. Like I'm not for the wall or against the wall. I'm just saying like,
What he's going to go for. Make Ukraine great again.
Wall neutral.
Make Ukraine great again.
The point is that you don't get a second chance to make a first impression, as it were. He was a breath of something new. There was huge interest. CNN was covering him wall to wall. Like, and it was tremendous ratings. So that empirically, what I'm saying is true.
But you were talking like he lost by a lot. He lost by a very small margin. Like, he had a lot of followers.
To get the nomination now.
By just one ballot taken in the middle of the night, he lost.
I think he's gonna start to look very like a has been. That's what I think is gonna happen to him. And he's such an egomaniac that he's gonna spend all his time talking about how he was robbed and stuff like this. And this is not a rallying issue. It's a rallying issue to his sliver of crazy people, but it's not a rallying issue to independents and Republicans who supported him at that time.
He can run on that. He can run on the election was stolen, and I'll make sure that it doesn't get stolen again. He can get a running mate. He can get Ivanka.
And nobody cares about the running mate. And DeSantis, for everyone to discuss him, this is a super bright guy who has managed to be a popular governor in a state which is almost 50% red, 50% blue. I think DeSantis may actually regret this "don't say gay" thing. I don't know if that is positive for him politically, but
how wild would it be if Pence agreed to be the vice president after like Trump almost got him? murdered. I would laugh so hard. I would almost respect the spinelessness if he's like, yeah, sure, I'll show up again. Like,
he wants to run if he ran on his own. DeSantis. Pence.
He does. Yeah. It's like, oh, buddy, you got the personality of oatmeal. Like, you're not going nowhere.
Yeah, Pence is not. Pence is not. Although, we should all appreciate Pence for
credit.
But it mattered.
Yeah.
Like, Pence doesn't believe in don't say gay. Pence believes in say gay while I'm electrocuting you. That is what Pence believes in. He's
say gay psycho. Again.
So you guys think that Trump is not going to run again? Try to run again?
I think he will. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
I'm not predicting. I think he might try to run again, but I don't think it's going to.
But you think if he runs, he won't win?
Will he win against Biden?
Against Biden for sure.
It's so too early to make.
Could
that.
He be set like selfless enough potentially to run just to make DeSantis look more moderate the way that radio host did for Marine Le Pen and then actually drop out?
I don't know the Le Pen thing, but no, Trump was not selfless ever about anything.
I mean, he can run independently too, even if he didn't win the Republican thing.
Oh yeah, that'd
be funny
if
he ran
sure
the Green
win.
Party.
Yeah, because he want to get some money, so he will run.
But Trump is really self-destructive. I mean, it's amazing he didn't win, and he had such a golden opportunity with COVID. Every other world leader on the planet benefited politically from the crisis of COVID. He's the only one who came out looking awful. Then he had that first debate. Remember that first debate performance where he was just like foaming at the mouth and screaming at Biden and all that stuff? A crazy person. And then if Trump had then been a gentleman and bowed out, even after a few days of saying, I think it was, you know, I want to recount. Well, okay, fair enough. A week later, I said, listen, I'm going to concede the election. He'd be a shoo-in now. Like, the only reason he won't win, or if he doesn't win, I don't think he will. The only reason he won't win is because, not because of his presidency, warts and all, it's all because of what he did after he lost the election. This jackass, if he had just shown everybody, you guys said I wasn't going to leave office. You guys said I was some sort of power hunger. Look at me. Congratulations, President Biden. I lost. That was all he needed to do. And he'd be cool right now, in my opinion.
What you're saying is Democrats should be happy that he tried to stop the...
Absolutely. The Democrats should be very happy what he did. Yeah. Of course they are happy about it. We know that. But they love January 6th.
Just us on this podcast.
Can Obama run again? Can a previous president run if there's a president in the middle?
Obama? Not for a third term.
No, he can't. Two terms.
If he had one term.
If he had one term, Boris, he had two. What is that?
I know. I'm saying if
he said if he had one term, he could run again. Yeah.
Right.
If that were the case.
Elon Musk for president.
Oh God, no.
And we all go to space.
Oh, I do. I say that I have a Tesla. That is a goddamn fucking great product. You cannot, whatever that guy, you do not take anything away from that. Is an amazing piece of engineering. Amazing. All right.
So at that note with Tesla, thank you guys so much. If you want to share your information where people can find you, Silba, you want to go first?
For sure. You can find me on most social media things. Just search my first name, SUBHAH, and I'll come up.
Boris?
Cool. At the Boris K on all the social medias.
All right. And for us, live from America, at comedyseller.com. Norm, anything?
Oh, you can call me. My number's on there.
All right, guys. Thank you very much and have a great one.
Peace, guys. Good to see you.